Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio.
Okay, well, that didn't go well, but this is TJB Radio, and of course on Blog Talk Radio is the Jeff Bushman Experience. We now have a new musical theme which we're going to debut right now. Here it is. Welcome to the Jeff Bushman Experience. Jeff Bushman, that would be me. And if you are listening live, February 8th, 2015 is the date. It's 6:31 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you are listening live, you can hear our past shows at blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. And good afternoon, good evening, good morning, depending on where you are and when you're listening, podcast or live. We welcome you and invite you to try whichever version you're not using to hear other shows. We tend to be live every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And in the near future, we're going to be adding a second weekly half hour. And that half hour will consist of interviews with guests, obviously, because interviewing me is boring. And during this 30 minutes, we're going to be talking about a couple of things. And among them are the important celebrity birthdays of the past. Also, the idea of kids killing their parents with guns from their mom's purse. We're going to be talking about stagnant wage growth, supply-demand curve, price-demand curve, gas prices, and inflation, all that in 30 minutes or less now. And you can either listen live or you can wait and listen to the show in podcast version for when you have trouble falling asleep, because, of course, economics has that tendency to do that to people. Anyway, all that said, let's get right into it. But before we do, I lied, let me invite you to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. We have some items there you might find interesting, although we haven't written anything on it recently. If you haven't looked at it, that doesn't matter, because very little of it is timely. And it is mostly what is called evergreen. That is, it could be looked at any time and be just as dull as if it were fresh. Additionally, there are some trivia questions there. And if you are contemplating buying something at Amazon and your browser allows the banner ad at the top, you can go through our site, again, bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, and if you end up buying anything at Amazon, they will send us a couple of shekels and it will cost you no more. Anyway, probably people who listen to the show regularly are getting tired of listening to the reference to shekels. Our shekels actually exist as a modern money unit in Israel, but the original shekels were referred to in the Bible, the Old Testament, or Old Testicle, depending on which version you're reading. We also wanted to mention that we were not on last week because I had virtually no voice. The flu had decided to rear its head again after I thought I was rid of it and had gone running, and that was a bit of a mistake, apparently. Still have a touch of a cough, but I'm not ill, and not that anyone is that concerned about it, but as you can hear, my voice is at least mostly back. If it goes raspy during the broadcast, obviously you'll hear that too. If you would like to call in during the program because you have something to say or ask, the call-in number is 347-850-8702. If you don't want to call in, that's still the number. And again, that number is 347-850-8702. The birthdays of famous people that occurred on the day of our broadcast, that specifically on this day, but this day in history, February 8th. 1931 was the actor James Dean, not to be confused with the singer Jimmy Dean. I say singer, but that's kind of a stretch. Also a dead pig merchant. And also in 1925, Jack Lemmon. And there was one other one I wanted to point out. Oh, in 1888 was Dame Edith Evans, and the one I actually was looking for was in 1828. February 8th was the birthday of Jules Verne. And so happy birthday, Jules. And most people don't realize this, Jules Verne was French. And until a few years ago when I found that out or figured it out, I always thought he was English because I don't know why, but that's what I had always assumed. Speaking of Jack Lemmon, I will mention to you that I actually saw him in person once, not performing, but at a bowling alley in Los Angeles with two of his kids, one of whom I assume was the son who later became an actor and specifically a comic actor. I think he's doing directing now. That would be Chris Lemmon. But I was a kid. It was called La Cienega Lanes. I don't know if it still exists. I don't think it does. But it was a bowling alley in Los Angeles, and I was busy trying to avoid making my bowling shoes smell bad. Okay. In the news over the last couple of weeks have been a couple of incidents where children, 3 years old, 5 years old, something like that, remove their parents' gun from their mom's purse and shoot their parents. In at least one case, the mom was killed. In the other case, I don't think either parent was killed, but they were both injured. In fact, I think it was one bullet went through mom and into dad's hip. I have a solution for this, and for, generally speaking, for making sure guns don't end up in the hands of kids, of people who have the guns, loaded and apparently with no safety on. Here's the deal. Here's my proposed legislation. I'm opposed to registration of guns. I think that's a really bad idea in a democracy. But what would be wrong with this? In order to be able to buy at least a handgun, you have to go through a course on gun safety and get a certificate. Nobody's going to register. I mean, you have to sign up for the class, but no one's going to take your address. You sign up for the class. You give whatever information you want to the class people. You go to class. You pay your fee. You go to your class. At the end of the class, you get a certificate that's stamped, notarized, whatever. And when you go in and buy a handgun, you need to show that certificate, showing you know something about gun safety, including keeping children safe or yourself safe around children. That's it. Someone will tell me there's something wrong with this, and this is letting the nose of the camel into the tent and is a step on the slippery slope towards martial law or some nonsense like that. Thank you, Rand Paul. But I don't see a problem with it. I really don't. No registration of weapons in terms of who owns them. Again, I'm opposed to that. No record of who owns the gun. You know, I'm still in favor of you having to make sure that they do a background check, but that's not the current law. But all those things aside, just take a class, get the certification, take it with you when you go to buy the gun at the pawn shop, the gun show, or the regular gun store, and show that before you get a handgun. Rifle, long gun, different story, but there you go. Okay. That's the solution, I think. Let's talk about the economic statistics that came out. For the first time since the economic recovery began, following the recession/depression that began in 2008, wages have crept up a little bit. Hourly wages have crept up a little bit, but not very much, let's acknowledge. And before that, people were complaining, or discussing at least, the fact that even though we were getting more jobs, unemployment was going down, et cetera, wages were not moving. Okay? Well, I will clue you to the reason on that. The bottom line is it has to do with supply and demand, which also has to do with gas prices and inflation. And I want to try to give an explanation that will serve you well when you go back to work the next time, and people are talking around the water cooler. I'm going to make it so, I mean, I know you already sound smart, but this will give you some more ammunition to use, okay? If it's something you're not, like, really into, this will give you some ammunition. By the way, in our show notes on the Blog Talk Radio site, we said we would be talking about Republican candidates for president and Democrats other than Hillary Clinton. But we're not going to do that this week. We'll probably do that next week. Okay, so if that's what you tuned in for, I apologize, but we will talk about it next week. But you're going to find this so fascinating anyway. You'll be glad you tuned in. And by the way, we are not going to discuss the Super Bowl or the Patriots or the Seahawks. I had to pause because I'm not a football fan, and I didn't really remember clearly who was in the Super Bowl. But I will tell you, okay, that I have all kinds of sports equipment around me, and I don't have deflated balls. All right, it's not something that we store here at the Bushman Broadcast Center, BBC. Anyway, talking about wage growth, the reason wages haven't grown is for the same reason we don't have inflation. Okay, you have inflation or wage growth only when the amount being produced, either the amount of labor being demanded or the amount of products being demanded, so uses the capacity of the society or the economy to produce those things that the only way you limit the amount of people who buy or hire is by raising the price. And let me give you an example. Well, first off, let me talk about the supply-demand curve. Most of us have studied that in school. Supply-demand curve means as demand goes up, the supply will tend to go up. That is, if you want to buy a water bottle and there's nobody else buying water bottles, you can probably buy them cheaply. But if everybody wants water bottles, after the existing supply is used up or as it begins to be used up, then if that demand keeps high, then the people who manufacture that are obviously going to start producing more, okay? And that increases supply. That's what the supply-demand. What a lot of people don't realize is there's also something called the price-demand curve that economists use. And so here's the question for you to consider while we start talking about this. If demand goes up, will price go down? Assuming we're not, by the way, if we're not talking about technological products like smartphones and things like that, if demand increases for these water bottles, will price go up, will it go down, or will it stay the same? Okay? So those are your three choices. If demand goes up for a product, a water bottle in our example, will the price go up, go down, or stay the same? If you answered go down, right, as demand for that product rises, that price will go down. You've given the wrongest of the three possible answers. It does not go down if demand goes up. It only goes down if some new capacity to produce it has occurred, has been invented, or if demand goes down. Other than that, in the normal equation, if demand goes up, then price will not go down. Now, you'll notice I didn't give the answer yet. That's because there is a trick involved. And the trick is it can do either of the other two, depending on what stage you're in the economy, in terms of recovery, recession, et cetera. But let's assume we're talking about recovery or normal economy. In the normal economy, if you want a water bottle and you're the only one who does, you'll go buy it at the current price. If a lot of people want water bottles, it depends how many and what the current supply is. So if right now, instead of having 1 million people who want water bottles, there are 5 million, but there are plenty of water bottles being produced, or the factories have the capacity to produce a lot more water bottles, the normal course is the price will pretty much stay the same. They'll make more money because they can produce more water bottles that more people are going to buy. Okay? So at that stage of the situation, if the factories are not, economists talk about full utilization of factory output term. What it means is if they still have plenty of capacity, plenty of ability to make more water bottles, the price is not going to go up under normal circumstances, or as economists say, all of the things being equal. What's going to happen is the price will stay the same. The price will go up when, and only when, there is more demand than can be supplied, here we go again, at the current factories, okay? So if they can produce 5 million bottles in a month, and now 5.5 million people want the water bottle this month, now price will go up because that's the way demand and price are tied together. But if 5 million people want water bottles this month, and they have the capacity, or 5.5 million people want water bottles this month, and they have the capacity to easily make 7 million water bottles this month, price will not be affected. Only the production of water bottles will go up. That's the supply-demand. But price demand effect only occurs when they are fully producing all they can produce, okay? And, of course, this extends beyond one factory and beyond one product, okay? Although if there's a demand for a specific product that's really hot, again, that's not technically oriented like an iPhone or something like that. But if you're talking about more plebeian products like paper clips or water bottles or staplers, until such point as they've used up their capability of producing them, price remains stable. Okay? That's how that works. Why did we talk about that in connection with wages? I'm glad you asked that question. The reason is very simple. We now have an unemployment rate of either 5.6 or 5.7% across the country. And the situation is, wages haven't gone up because unemployment has not gone down far enough, or putting it a different way, an insufficient number of jobs have been produced, or an insufficient number of people are employed to cause the need for wages to go up. What am I talking about in terms of the need? I'm not talking about your need to have higher wages, or mine or somebody else's. I'm talking about, do employers need to pay more money to get people to go to work for them? And when you have an unemployment rate of 5.6 or 5.7, the reality is they don't need to, because there's still plenty of workers in the system. And then you have the other factor that occurs. This last month, the month of January, this country produced an enormous number of jobs relative to what was expected. I don't remember the exact numbers. We produced more jobs than were expected, and what happened with the unemployment rate? It went up. That's counterintuitive, but there's a reason for it. Unemployment, and most of you know this already, but for those who don't, the unemployment rate reflects the percentage of people who are actively looking for jobs but don't have one. It doesn't take into account the people who are working part-time who want to work full-time, and it doesn't take into account the people who have stopped looking and maybe gone back to school or gone in for some training or just sitting around. That last category is fairly small, but you get the point. Okay, so the thing is, in that context, if you have a situation where more people, because they've been hearing that more jobs are being created, and that's been in the media for several months, they may say, you know what, I'm done with school. I am now going to go look for a job because I think I can get one because they're hiring more people. Okay, that's what happens. So that's why the unemployment rate ticked up a tenth of a percent. And frankly, these figures are rather broadly painted anyway. And the reason I say that is because no one has it exactly accurate. And you will sometimes hear conservative economists say, well, the rate is actually much higher because it doesn't count all those people who are back at school or have given up work and who have given up looking for work. And the reason that is illogical and incorrect is because it's always that way. No matter what the unemployment rate is, it has very little direct relationship to the number of people who are out of work. It only reflects, again, those people who are not working full time, who are looking for and available for full time work. So that's why the unemployment rate went up slightly. But again, we're hiring a lot more people, and the wages generally went up a little bit, where before they were stagnant or going down. So the question is, what's going to happen in the next report? What's going to happen next month? My guess is, it could go either way, obviously, or it could go a third way and just stay the same. But the reality is that even if the wages across the country do go up in the next report, expect them sometime in the next few months to go down. Because this is until we get to a point where unemployment is down at a rate for at least 3-4 months of like 4.5%, and that may not happen for a long time. But when we get to that point, you're going to see wages start to go up. Okay? All right. Now, we also talked briefly about inflation, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But let's talk briefly about gasoline. You have probably noticed that after gasoline prices have come way down, they're now starting to they're starting to go up. We're in Arizona where gas prices are relatively low, and a week ago, I think, the gas at my local cheapo station was $1.69.9 a gallon. Today was $1.85.9. That's a major jump in a short time. And I'm happy to say there's no logical economic reason for it. Okay, the Saudis have not cut back on oil production. As a matter of fact, if you looked at yesterday's news, it said they said that oil companies have been laying people off. Well, if they were in a situation where demand was so high or supply was so low that they had to go ahead and produce more oil, would they be laying people off? Of course not. What's happened now is the oil companies are trying to jump it up a little bit. The Saudis aren't causing this. OPEC isn't causing this. The Russians aren't causing it. What's happening is the American oil companies are tired of taking low prices, and they're trying to screw around with it so that they can obviously get more money, and I can't blame them for that. But the supplies are so high still, and will be for an appreciable period. You can look for the prices to go back down again. Watch, in 2 weeks I'll look like an idiot. But but the fact is, that's the logic of the supply and demand. There's much more supply than there is demand for this oil. So prices will probably go back down. Okay, talk about inflation real quickly. I say real quickly because we have about 8 3/4 minutes left to the show. When you only have half an hour and you're discussing a broad question like the economy, the time goes very, very quickly, unless you're listening to this and are not interested, in which case it goes very slowly. Okay, talking about inflation. The things I was saying about wage growth applies equally to inflation. Inflation is referred to as too much money in search of too few goods. That's not exactly accurate, but it's the same kind of situation we were talking about a minute ago. Let's assume you want to buy, let's go back to the water bottles. Let's assume that, again, everybody wants to buy water bottles, as we talked about before. This gets back to price demand. Inflation occurs when the factories, again, like we were talking about, the factories are producing at full capacity. When that happens, prices will go up. Well, that's inflation, because there aren't enough goods to satisfy the demand. So, again, using what we were talking about before, you have 5.5 million people who want a water bottle this month. I'm getting tired of water bottles, I confess. But you have 5.5 million people who want a water bottle this month. And the factory, I said before, could produce 6 or 7 million. Let's assume they can only produce 5 million. And you've got 5.5 million people who want it. Okay? Well, they can't produce any more. And they know that that demand is strong. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to raise prices. But when they raise those prices, what's going to happen, and those of you who've lived through inflation know what I'm talking about, is I may pay, instead of paying my dollar, I may pay $1.10, because that's what they've raised the price to, or $1.25, whatever it is. But I am either in, if I'm working for a salary, I'm going to be looking to my employer, and again, assuming full employment exists, this is not going to be a problem, I'm going to look to my employer for a little raise, because not only is the water bottle more expensive, but all the other things I'm buying are more expensive too. I need more money. And if I'm running a business, I may be raising my prices to my customers or clients. If I do that, again, very clearly, what's going to happen is people are going to be paying me more money. They're going to be looking to get more money. As a result of all, when the economy is very well heated up, some people would say overheated, prices are going up because there are more people who have money, again, very low unemployment rate at that point, right? And people have money to spend, so there are more people in the market for those water bottles who are willing to spend whatever it takes to get a water bottle. Okay, that's, again, what causes inflation. When that happens, by the way, the value of the currency is changed. Question, with inflation, in the United States, does the value of the dollar go up, go down, or stay the same? I obviously gave away that it doesn't stay the same. Which does it do? Basically the question is, if it costs more to buy everything, does the value of the currency go up or down? We'll answer that in just a minute. One other thing, next week on Sunday, 6:30 Eastern Time, we will be back. And if nothing else has happened in the news or nothing else occurs to me that we want to talk about, we will, in fact, talk about the presidential contest. And we'll probably talk about vaccine. And if we do, we certainly will invite your calls. The question is not whether vaccine is a good idea, Chris Christie and Rand Paul. The question is whether it should be mandatory. And we'll talk more about that next week. I'd be particularly interested in hearing from you next week if you want to call in, and that will be on February the 15th. If you have someone in your family who is unable to get vaccinated because of an immune system problem. Okay, the one other thing I want to discuss with regard to the economy is productivity. Every once in a while, on radio or television, you hear that productivity statistics came out, and productivity has gone up. I didn't give the answer. If inflation has taken place in the economy, right, and things cost more, the value of the currency has gone down, right? That's it. Other things will happen as a result of that. Interest rates will go up to help balance that, because as interest rates go up, the dollar becomes worth more. And on another occasion, we won't go into enormous detail like we did today. On another occasion, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, as to why the value of the currency goes up when interest rates go up. We did talk about that a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Russian ruble. As opposed to the French ruble? No, the Russian ruble. Anyway, productivity. When productivity goes up, and people talk about it, in other words, we're producing 10% more, that's a high difference, let's say 3%. 3% more goods this year than we produced last year. Everybody talks about that being wonderful, and isn't the economy doing well, and isn't that great about America? We can produce more now than we did last year. Isn't that terrific? And the answer is no. Simply put, no. Why is the answer no? Why is it, and I'm glad you're asking this, why is it that productivity increases are bad? Okay. The answer is this. Productivity increases don't mean that the economy is producing more stuff. It really just doesn't. It's not what it means. What it means is each worker is producing that much more stuff. So if that numerical difference is 3%, it means that per worker we're producing 3% more than we produced last year. Why is that bad news? Well, typically when that happens, it's not that worker is not receiving 3% more money. Very few people work on a piece rate basis, thankfully. And again, unless you have full employment, the boss of that company, the owner of that company, or the president, is not required to put out more money to make sure they keep their workers, because if that worker quits, there are plenty out there who'll take the job, right? Okay. So what happens in the absence of full employment and productivity is going up, it means that worker is producing that much more stuff, goods and services, without being paid anymore. Or they've got machines in there that are now doing a good deal of the work that are producing that with the humans who are also working, the company overall, per worker, is producing 3% more goods. Well, again, that means, they don't have to hire people to increase their overall productivity. They are getting more work out of machines and people, and again, there is no incentive to increase income or increase hiring. Increased productivity is generally a step towards less employment, okay, and lower wages. So when you see the productivity went up X percent, this is not something to celebrate. And that's something you really need to let people know, not because it's going to make a major difference in what occurs, but it needs to be understood in the context of the full economy. Okay? All right. We've covered a lot of territory today. I feel like we were doing an economics lecture, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to make clear some of the things that are going on in the economy right now. Again, to make you sound enormously more knowledgeable when you get into work tomorrow, and you're standing around the water cooler saying, "Did you hear that such and such happened?" Okay. So we are done for today. Thank you for joining us. Join us next week on February 8th. Same time, same bat station, and again, podcast versions as well at blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. And I said today's February 8th. I'm an idiot. Next week is February 5th. I said next week is February 8th. Today's the 8th. Join us on the 15th, and by then I'll learn what time it is as well. Thanks very much. Know you got to go, but please don't go away mad, and remember our theme song. Okay, see you next time. Thanks. Good night. Have a great day. Bye-bye.